Hi, my name's Julie Mackin and welcome to More Civil Societies. On the 22nd of August 2015, the Saturday paper ran a headline that said, "Nauru rapes, there is a war on women." The situation for refugees and asylum seekers had been getting worse in Australia's detention centres. But this headline pointed to a unique form of abuse. Women were being routinely abused, raped, and then doomed to spend the rest of their lives on a tiny island with their perpetrators. It was a shocking situation. I had no idea what to do. So I spoke to Carmen Lawrence, Wendy Bacon, Pamela Kerr, Claire O'Connor and Louisa Lowe, and together all of us formed a group called the Australian Women in Support of Women on Nauru. Not the catchiest title, I grant you, but it explains what we're about. We decided to get Wendy Bacon and Carmen Lawrence to Nauru to find out what was happening on the island. At exactly that point, the Nauruan government announced that the visa to get considered for entry would now cost $8,000, would not be refunded if they declined our visa application. We raised $20,000 very quickly and applied for two visas, which were, after months of backwarding and forwarding and argy-bargy, ultimately declined from the Nauruan government for no reason given. So in the absence of actually getting people there, we began to use a whole lot of resources to write a report and inform the public and the international media about what was happening. The report's still available. Just Google "protection denied, abuse condoned." I'm talking about this because a few weeks ago, the Australian Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton accused some of the most vulnerable women in the world of lying about being raped and lying about needing a termination as a consequence. He said, "Some people are trying it on," and by people, dear listener, he actually means women. He just can't seem to say the word, though. "Some people are trying it on," said Dutton. "Let's be serious about this. There are people who have claimed that they've been raped, came to Australia to seek an abortion because they couldn't get an abortion on Nauru. They arrived in Australia and then decided they were not going to have an abortion. They have the baby here, and the moment they step off the plane, their lawyers lodge papers in the federal court, which injuncts us from sending them back." There is so much deceit and cruelty in what the minister just said. He's talking about a young woman who was raped on Nauru, became pregnant, and he was forced to allow her to come to Australia to have a termination. When she arrived, she was terribly sick, terribly frightened. She was not allowed to have any of her community or support people around her, and she was kept under guard in hospital, just for the record. What the hell is that? Over the next day or two, she was asking to speak to someone so she could find out what was going to happen to her. That's all she wanted, someone to tell her what was going on. For whatever reason, this was interpreted as her not wanting to have a termination. For the record, this was not true. She never said that. But the minister ordered her under guard to be removed to Nauru, and she was flown out of the country on a dawn flight. When we and others heard about what had happened, we demanded she be brought back to Australia. Oh man, this was just such an appalling, brutal outcome for this kid. Eventually, under enormous pressure from the broader community, she was brought back. And the rest of her story is just that, it's her story. But the minister knows the cruel and bullying role he played in this young woman's life. The problem with Minister Dutton is he's been able to get away with routinely humiliating and defaming the most vulnerable people on the planet because he's a bully with a huge amount of power. But his most recent attack on women should not be read as an attack on just refugee women, although it was clearly that. It needs to be understood for what it is, a wholesale attack on the safety of women everywhere. Many years ago, I worked in a women's refuge, and I have to say, I heard women recount precisely these allegations from the men who had bashed and raped them and their children. Countless women across Australia will recognise this strategy. Women know only too well how abusers level exactly these accusations at them as they're assaulting them. Dutton's response to this has been that it sends a clear message that the man with arguably the most powerful portfolio in Australia, with unprecedented powers to survey, detain and question, believes women fabricate stories of sexual assault and use their own kids as a form of manipulation. His words take an axe to the campaign to create a safer community for everyone. Accusing women of lying about rape and sexual violence is a tactic as old as time, deployed by rape apologists and perpetrators of violence against women. Peter Dutton is playing straight from that ugly old book. The Prime Minister needs to sack Minister Dutton for this outrageous attack or extract an apology, because anything less than that will be read as Prime Minister Scott Morrison supporting exactly this kind of attack on women.